This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome to My Favorite Murder, your favorite cat podcast since 2016.
Aside from the Purrcast.
Whoops.
Whoa, dude.
I've never seen Steven so angry.
Steven just quit.
Steven fucking ripped his mustache off and threw it on the ground. Sorry, Steven. Please come back. Please come back.
Please come back.
Please get back and put that back on.
It's really creepy to see you without it.
We can't have floating mustaches around here. It's bad for the cats. So anyway, this is the mini-sode where we are in Europe, so we're pre-recording this. It's all the time.
It's hour four of recording.
Yeah, we've done a lot of making sure everybody's asses are covered while we are in Paris, France.
We are not going to Paris for the third time.
Enjoying Europe in the European capital of Paris, France.
Oh. I'm just going to laugh for this thing. You do the work.
Sounds great.
Great. This is okay. A mini-sode. Read me a story.
Okay, good. Because we're going to start with an update.
Fuck yes.
Okay. And the update, it says, update on the serial masturbator, and then S in parentheses after the end of masturbator in Riverside.
Oh,
hello, MFM family. Let me just note, almost every single female graduate student in my department went insane when you read the last email about the serial masturbator on campus. Almost all of us are diehard MFM fans and wait to listen to MFM when we work in our respective labs. So that we don't go crazy. Well, hi, everybody.
Hi, stay in school.
Hi,
they're like, we are going to.
Stop doing so many drugs and stay in school. Also, double freak out because now you're one of the rare people that gets two emails, but it is an update. So okay. Other hometown people, don't be so bitter. We need to know this information. Ready, go. I just wanted to give a quick update on the insanity of public masturbation that is happening at UC Riverside. We just received a note that a second person has been arrested for public masturbation on campus.
What?
One man, a 21-year-old from Coachella. Who's from Coachella?
Yeah.
Was arrested last month. And a second man, a 27-year-old from Riverside, was arrested last week.
Holy shit, cops. Way to go in Riverside. Yeah, they're
on it like crazy. I'm not sure what the hell is happening. But the string of lewd activity has... Yes. I don't know why that's such a funny phrase. Lewd activity. Mm-hmm. Has seemed to pull weirdos from out of our poorly lit dorm rooms and are striking with a vengeance on campus.
Hey,
babe. I've been on this campus for many years. So I've dealt with the insane range of notices from UCPD, like the dangers of playing Pokemon Go, where the email reads that
Charizard.
Say it, Steven. I mean,
Charizard.
Say it, millennial.
Say it. Explain it, Harry Potter. That Charizard is certainly rare and is an amazing find, but you will mean nothing if you are hit by a vehicle because you stepped on the roadway in your attempt to catch it. Wow.
Don't understand any of that.
We are much, much older than college students. Mm-hmm. And when a psychology student was kidnapped during finals week a few years ago and she convinced the perpetrator to bring her back safely to campus. Side note, imagine that conversation with your professor about postponing your exam.
Wait, I want her to write in now, please.
Yes. College campuses are definitely shit shows for safety, but I'm glad we get the information we need to stay sexy and not get murdered. Thanks so much for the countless hours you've helped me and so many others, and a special thanks from the women in environmental toxicology and environmental sciences.
Cool.
Claudia. Wow, UC Riverside You guys,
I love when we find out that smart people listen to the podcast.
It's amazing.
It's an honor to be listened to by smart people.
It's a mystery as to what you people think you're doing. Focus on your science.
They need to give their brains a break. And so they listen to this podcast.
What is it about Riverside, do you think, that's so goddamn attractive that guys are just jerking it left, right, and center in public?
Well, maybe we need to go to Riverside and find out ourselves.
Is it the weather, Stephen? You're from the Inland Empire. What's going on in Riverside?
I think it's a lot of meth.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
So when you do meth, you need to masturbate publicly all the time?
Well, your inhibitions are down.
True.
Your meth is up. Your meth intake is up.
You get those meth levels nice and high.
You're real excited and you're like, I want to share this with everyone.
Yeah.
I'm so happy.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay.
All right.
Settled.
Here's, this is how Cousin Doris ruined her life by finding treasure.
Treasure?
Yeah. Hi, Karen, Georgia, Steven, and Pets. I'll be honest, after listening to you guys for close to 2 years, I'm both thrilled to finally have a story for a minisode category and pretty terrified of screwing this up.
Uh-oh.
All right, Kathleen, don't screw this up.
You better fucking nail this, Kathleen.
Cousin Doris was actually my dad's cousin, so she's probably my second cousin or something like that.
Yes.
In the 1950s, she lived on a farm with her husband out in the sticks of Pennsylvania. Late one night, a friend of theirs stops in and asks him to hang on to a box for him.
Yes, no problem. Won't look inside at all.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
We'd love to have that box.
Give it here.
Give it over.
He'll be back to get it in a little while. Doris and her husband put the box on a top shelf in the closet and forget about it. Without even looking at it.
Yep.
Better person than I am.
I bet it's his hat or...
his hat box.
It's his old check stubs.
About 2 years later, Doris is wrestling around in that closet and knocks the box over. Mm-mm. It falls to the ground and bursts open to reveal cash.
Cash. Uh-huh.
More cash than Doris has ever seen in her life. She and her husband go on a shopping spree. She buys furs and he buys a beautiful Packard convertible.
Wait. How many years later? Sorry?
2 years later. So it's like 1950, whatever.
Yeah, but where's the guy? They're just spending the guy's money? Shh, shh, shh. Oh, sorry.
There's only one problem. I think that they were just like, fuck it.
Yeah, cash.
It's been 2 years.
Nobody can prove that we did or didn't have this cash. That's the problem with cash.
There's only one problem. They live in a tiny rural town. Everyone knows their business and everyone super duper knows that they have no legitimate reason to have that much money. The authorities get involved and eventually piece together that the friend who disappeared had robbed a bank, hidden the money at Doris's house, then accidentally fucked off and died.
So
it's horrible. Let's go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say, so if they had played it right,
yeah,
you never buy a fur
or a convertible.
First of all, you don't need a fucking fur unless you live in the mountains.
Yeah just move out of Pennsylvania.
You could move somewhere, or you could just buy small nice things,
right?
Every time you go to the drugstore, a new pair of hose.
Right.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Go to Sephora and do like a $250 sweep. No one is the wiser.
The point is to be responsible with the money you've stolen.
Yes. Please be a practical thief right. And criminal.
Yeah. Like... Of course not. Okay.
Just use your head.
Blah, 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 blah. Doris and her husband are convicted of aiding and abetting, receiving stolen goods, etc. She does 18 months either in prison or jail. I'm not sure which. Except here's the sad twist.
Oh.
Doris was in her mid-20s at the time that this happened. While she was locked up, she started hearing voices and being bothered by people no one else could see.
Oh.
Nowadays, we understand that the onset of schizophrenia is pretty common in a woman's 20s. Mm-hmm. But as far as my family was concerned, prison drove her nuts.
Well, yeah.
We called her Crazy Cousin Doris until we understood that that was not a cute nickname.
No.
Which probably took way longer than it should have. She got divorced pretty soon after getting out of prison and moved to California and spent the rest of her life reading magazines about aliens.
Hell yes.
At least she was happy about the little gray men, not creeped out by them. Stay sexy, don't get murdered, and be careful of free cash, Kathleen.
Am I Crazy Cousin Doris? Because that sounds like a dream life. Reading magazines?
In fur coats.
But also sitting in a convertible.
Right. You know how much you love your fur coats, Karen.
You know that I have a fox fur coat.
Do you really?
My aunt
Anne. Oh, baby, Anne, a little fox.
I had to. I know. There's actually a stole that goes with it that has the fox head on it.
No.
With little, it's like a little piece of, I was going to say topiary, taxidermy.
Oh, God. That's horrifying.
It's because my two great aunts, also great aunts, but they were two old maids.
Were they
sisters?
Wait, is this the show Ab Fab?
it's reverse Ab Fab. They were like very repressed Irish Catholic. Neither of them ever got married. My Aunt Anne never went on a date.
Virgins.
And they like had, they used to work for the phone company. The phone company.
Right.
That's how they had that accent.
Phone company.
From San Francisco. Uh-huh. We worked down at the phone company. And
so they'd go see a picture on Saturday.
Exactly right. Oh, that was a good picture. And I guess they saved up their money, and my Aunt Anne bought herself a full-on fox fur.
It was like the first nice thing she ever bought and only nice thing she ever bought herself.
Yeah. So and so now it's in my closet. I've put it on once. It doesn't suit me. And
it suits a fox.
It's strips of fox.
Oh.
It's awful. It doesn't even, it's not even like kind of cool looking.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't, it's upsetting and odd. And also it's that thing of like those people that get into stuff like that, that status shit.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, well, cut to 50 years later when it's like a little bit moth eaten and out of style.
Yeah.
And you'll feel very stupid for having spent like $5,000 on a coat.
Totally.
It makes no sense.
It doesn't.
Is it my turn?
It's your turn.
Okay. The subject line of this hometown is, my uncle was in a tiger sanctuary cult.
What?
Yes, 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 and
give
yes.
Give it to me.
Hi, Karen, Georgia, Steven, and various pets. I was hanging out with a bunch of friends recently, and we wanted to watch one of those Scientology recruitment videos for laughs. Well done. But one of my friends freaked out and refused to let us watch it.
Yeah, that's the coolest friend you've ever had. Oh, I bet that friend's a fucking...
I don't want that video on at my house.
Jim, can you calm down?
Jim's like, no, it's not cool.
It's not funny, man.
The lukewarm response I got to, come on, it's not that big of a deal. Everyone's got an uncle who used to be in a cult, made me start to think that this is not a universal experience and that you guys might enjoy my family story. I love it. My mom's brother was working in construction when he was brought in to work on some of the enclosures in the Oregon Tiger Sanctuary. The sanctuary is operated by the Foundation. This is all like title caps. The Foundation for Meditative Studies, which is a group devoted to the teachings of Mafu, an ancient spiritual master channeled by the group's leader. Channeled by the group's leader.
Oh, he channels this ancient person?
Right. Oh, sorry. The group's leader, Penny Torres. So I guess it's a woman who goes by the name Swami Paramananda Saraswati.
Well, I'm going to join. That sounds legit. That
Hear
sounds
me
great
out.
To me.
We're only halfway through.
Okay.
According to Mafu, they're all about love and awakening and joy and whatever.
Sure.
But according to, it literally says and whatever, but according to my mom and a couple of forum posts from 2006, they ain't all that great. Apparently, after my uncle was done working on the tiger enclosures, he was told that he connected with those tigers so well that he should stay on and help them. And stay on with them to help out. Uh-uh. I've seen a bunch of accusations online about the classic nasty cult stuff that they have had going on. That it's one big orgy. The leader is super violent to members and that they take all your money and stuff. But what I do know for sure is that they convinced my uncle that he was being manipulated by his whole family.
Oh, no.
And that he was finally free of their control once he joined up with Mafu. He apparently left some really awful voicemails while he was there, accusing everyone of manipulating him financially and emotionally, and just accusing everyone of some really awful stuff. I don't know how he got out, but he did, and now he's in a band with his wife.
What the fuck?
He's in a band with his wife, and he grows pot in Montana. So it sounds like he's doing great.
That sounds so correct.
Thanks for reading, SSDGM Aaron.
Wow. Everyone needs an uncle like that.
An amazing journey.
It was.
Tiger cults. I love the idea of, you finally find this belief, right? Something clicks in your life.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's it. Tigers.
Yeah.
I belong with tigers.
That's right. They're right.
I belong.
That's right.
Tiger orgies. This is me.
Yeah.
This is who I finally can be.
Right. I've been waiting for a thing my whole life.
Yes. And I'm super pissed.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to start leaving angry voicemails. Right. So that people know that this is, like, I'm going to burn every bridge in town.
Yeah.
I love that day. Like, just like, let's the short film that we're going to make is like that is tag that he joins the Tiger cult. He puts his membership card next to the phone, picks that thing up and just starts
accusing everyone in his family of molesting him.
Just he like, pulls out the family phone tree. You molested me and you were rude to me at Christmas.
Right. All right. This is called, all right, here's another family story. This
wonderful.
Is called Family Mystery Light with a Rabies Twist.
Yes.
Okay. Hello to everyone.
Wonderful.
Great. Hello, everyone. I finally have a story to write in now that you've opened it up to rabies related stories. Amen.
Yes.
I grew up in Toronto as the youngest of four siblings. When I was about 8, we moved into a new house with an antenna pole in the backyard. I don't know what that means. Any child could easily climb to get to our roof. Okay.
I think it was those, they used to have those things that you could hang your laundry on to dry.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, it looked like it should be a toy, but it was just a kind of a thin aluminum.
And it had like sticks coming out of them that you could use as like ladder prongs.
Exactly. And you hung a ton of clothes on them.
Okay.
As opposed to like a cord that went across the yard.
I like it.
Okay.
My mom forbade us all from going up there, but naturally my two older brothers were always playing around on the roof, throwing loose shingles at each other.
Yes.
You find weird ways to entertain yourself when your single mom can't afford to send you to camp.
That's right.
Amen. Okay. One evening, when my mom was at work, my brothers wanted me and my sister to play outside with them and sent me in to recruit my sister. I returned to tell my brother she wasn't going to play, but when I walked outside, the younger of my brothers, who was 10 years old, is standing in the dark beside the house. Then all I see is him recoiling and shouting in pain. My other brother, 14, is nowhere to be seen. The injured brother and I go inside and I see he has a gash on his forehead from being hit with something.
Mm.
When I go back outside, I see my 14-year-old brother come out of the backyard and he sternly tells me not to tell mom about any of this. Fucking older brothers.
It was a roof shingle?
Well.
Oh.
When my mom comes home from work and sees the gash, she flips out and makes my injured brother tell her what happened. And he says the older brother threw a shingle off the roof and hit him in the head with it. My mom goes to get mad at the older brother, who immediately denies it and says that he saw a bat, the animal, not the sporting good.
Huh.
My mom assumes he's lying and makes me tell her what I saw. I said what I knew, that he was hit with something. The boys had been on the roof earlier. I didn't know where the older brother was during the incident. My mom wants my brother to confess, so she threatens to take the younger brother to get rabies shots if it really was a bat that hit him. My older brother refused to admit it, and we couldn't find the shingle on the ground as evidence, so my mom had to follow through with getting the younger one vaccinated. Luckily, just a few months earlier, the rabies vaccine changed from a giant needle in your abdomen to a standard shot.
Oof.
To this day, my older brother still denies throwing a shingle, and I think it will always remain my own little mundane family mystery with a rabies twist. SSCGM cadence.
That's hilarious.
Fucking siblings.
The brother would have broken by now, wouldn't
he?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
You think he would have stuck to it?
Yeah.
But there's no stakes anymore, right? If he's like an adult, hopefully.
Yeah, but some people are weird.
Oh, you're right.
So he probably enjoys that it's this thing.
He made his brother get a series of rabies shots because he couldn't admit
so
that he was a bad
shitty.
Person.
What if the brother had like died from the rabies shots and then he had to live his whole life with like,
then he'd really have to double down and be like, yep, nope, never threw that tile.
Careful in this area. Bats are really, real fucked up in this area.
You know, we had a bat issue in our family. We don't like to talk about it, but it was pretty serious. Anyway,
it killed my brother. Anyway,
this
on.
Super Bowl is nuts.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Craft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient, because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all Made In, Made In.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's M-A-D-E-I-N cookware.com. Goodbye. If you find yourself falling into how it's made rabbit holes or staying up late researching every fact about a documentary you just watched, it's safe to say you're a curious person. The best way to indulge your curiosity is with Masterclass. Masterclass is the only streaming platform where you can learn directly from the world's biggest and brightest talents. For just $10 a month, you have unlimited access to over 200 classes on topics like songwriting, entrepreneurship, and gardening. Learn how to effectively compromise in the workplace from FBI hostage negotiator Chris Voss, or how to tell a great story with humor and emotion from New York Times bestselling author David Sedaris. Masterclass has short 10 to 15 minute lessons that you can access from any device, and 88% of members say the classes have made a positive impact on their lives. I am obsessed with Masterclass, and I love that I can use my phone to watch classes instead of just mindlessly scrolling. I can put on a creative writing class by Margaret Atwood. It's called How to Hook Readers and Create a World. Or, hey, are you a comedian? There's Steve Martin, whose class is What Your Flavor of Comedy Is and How to Nail Your Act. I mean, come on, you guys. Right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/MFM. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/MFM. Masterclass.com/MFM. Goodbye. Why do I always remember lyrics to songs, Karen, that I haven't heard for years, but I always forget my email passwords?
I know, right? It's like our brains only want us to retain useless information, but with 1Password, that problem's solved.
1Password is an award-winning password manager that's trusted by families and large-scale companies alike.
If you're tired of being the person that everyone texts for a streaming login, hand that honor to 1Password. They let you share logins with people and with groups.
With 1Password, you can securely switch between any device type or operating system. That means if you're a family or business that uses both Mac and PC, you won't have trouble sharing your private data.
Don't let the name fool you. 1Password does more than just store passwords. It can autofill usernames, payment details, and personal information. And they notify you about potential data breaches.
For business operations, 1Password has a dedicated support team that will integrate its security tools into your existing workflow.
1Password saves everyone time. And we all know that time saved equals money saved. Your accounting department will thank you.
Don't just listen to us. 1Password was named Wirecutter's best password manager. And companies like Salesforce and IBM trust 1Password to secure their most sensitive information. So you can too.
Right now, our listeners get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/MFM.
That's 2 free weeks at 1, as in the number 1, password.com/MFM.
1Password.com/MFM.
Goodbye.
Did I go first?
Yeah, we've both done 2.
Well, can we do 3? Because
yeah.
The subject line for this next email is, all caps, I got rabies at the Taj Mahal.
What? Oh, here I guess go. It's not that big of a deal because Steven picked all of these. Okay. And I'm like, what a coincidence. No.
Oh, you thought it was coincidence. No.
It's not.
He's always planning and scheming with that mustache,
Steven,
over in the corner.
Rip it off your face now.
Okay. Dear beautiful creatures, human and animal.
Aww.
Well, hello.
Hello.
When I was 11 years old,
is this from
I
Paul
went.
Holes?
What?
Is this from Paul Holes?
Could
no.
Could you imagine?
Oh my God. I'm dead.
Could you imagine? He's like, girls, listen, I just really quickly want to tell you about this raccoon.
Yeah. Stop saying my name.
Girls, please get rid of that hashtag. I'm a happily married man. I have a family, and I like to put my hands on my hips all the time. When I was 11 years old, I went to India with my mom, and on our last day, thank fuck, we went to the beautiful Taj Mahal. We were touring Baby Taj, tomb of Litimad ad-Daula. I did my best. We saw a swarm of adorable chipmunk-like animals.
Oh no.
I will touch anything with fur, parentheses, even now. I have yet to learn my lesson. So our guide said that they were very friendly and to try to pet them.
Oh, no.
Trying to live out my Snow White fantasies, I approached the oddball of the group.
Oh, no. This is just, I don't want to hear any more of this.
There's a real twitchy one over on the side that moves slow.
Who just like can't keep up with the rest of the pack.
And so it's making noises that animal doesn't make.
It's chewing its own fucking arm off.
It's smoking. I approached the oddball of the group, which turned out to be a huge mistake as it promptly jumped up, bit me under the nail of my middle finger, and refused to let go.
No. Despite my flail.
No, it's my sister used to have hermit crabs when we were like, she was 8 and I was 6.
Yeah.
And one time I picked one up. And it just really slow, because they're just little tiny crabs, went like this and like grabbed my thumbnail. And I went like that and like threw this poor hermit crab across the room. Cracked its shell. It was very sad, but it scared the shit out of me. So the idea that like a squirrel thing having its teeth and not letting go. Okay. The guide eventually got him off my hand and went back to our hotel. And we went back to our hotel to see a doctor. The doctor who saw me told me very bluntly that I was going to die. They didn't have a vaccine, and only one person has ever survived after not being injected within 24 hours post-infection.
What?
And she ended up in a coma. So like, great. The flight home was 17 hours. My mom refused to take the next flight out because we already had dinner plans.
Oh my mom.
Talk about mommy issues. Am I right? We had to pre-order the vaccine back home as I live in New York City and no one gets rabies from pigeons. And the doctors were freaking out about my time frame. Of course, all caps. When we landed, my mom insisted on first showering, unpacking and blowing out her hair.
Mom.
Before taking me to the specialist.
Mom kind of sucks.
Mom is doing her thing.
Mom.
DHT.
DHT.
She's got a DHT,
lots
mom.
Lots of therapy behind this.
Dang. Gotta look cute. So when I finally saw the now exasperated doctor, he had to give me shots in my arm and the bite site. So again, under my nail. I had to get shots in my butt every day for a month. And the doctors told me that I definitely had rabies based on my reaction to the meds. So please don't sass me about how small rodents rarely have rabies. It can happen.
Oh my God.
Well, thanks for making me feel relevant. Your podcast is getting me through life and law school. Stay sexy. Don't let pet the weird chipmunk just because you think it could benefit from some attention. All my love, Kaylee. I know my parents threw in all the letters. Oh my God, that was hilarious.
I love that. I'm glad that we get you through your life, that you can live despite your mother's best efforts to fucking kill you from rabies, Kaylee.
Your mother was from, I bet you, my mother's same generation, where it was everything, no matter what was happening, she'd be like, put a little lipstick on.
Yeah, or that's, calm down.
It's all they cared about.
Yeah, you're going to a doctor's office.
Please pull a brush through your hair, Karen. You're going to the dentist.
You're going to a doctor's office.
You're taking a plane flight.
Yeah.
That's, you're going on Southwest in sweatpants? Yes. Yes.
Yes, and I don't give a fuck.
And now I wear sweatpants all day, every day.
Are those jeggings?
Happy?
These jeggings. I'm wearing a fucking muumuu. What am I talking about right now? Like a literal muumuu.
If you have any jeggings or muumuu stories, we want to hear them. Please send them to me.
I want any your fucking mom just almost killing you stories.
Here's the thing. This is a rich area.
Yeah.
Because especially if you had a parent who was, if you had a mom who was a nurse, like my mother shook off, my sister broke her wrist and my mom's like, it's fine. Just take your Coke can and put it up against it. Girls, please don't make a big deal. I'm fine. It's my day off. And it turned out she had a broken, was it a
no
wrist
apologies,
or her thumb?
Though. No, like, oh, I screwed up.
No, because it was always like, you know, she knew.
Yeah.
She knew everything because she was a nurse.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm sure there's lots of other types of moms that did the exact same thing.
I want how your mom traumatized you.
Yes.
As a kid.
Like anything from you sat out in the car while she drank in a bar to simply refused medical treatment.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
definitely want those.
Bring it here.
The thing, like, I got a perm. She made me do fucking, you know, beauty things.
She made me wear matching clothes with her.
Oh.
Ooh.
Tell us. Thanks for listening. This has been fun.
If you have any ideas for areas you want to tell us about, please send them to myfavoritemurder@gmail.com.
That's right. Thank you for listening, you guys.
And stay sexy.
And don't get murdered.
Oh, goodbye.
Elvis, you want cookie?
Good boy.